Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome on in to DC On Screen, episode 426. I am your host, David C. Robertson, and this is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
This is our weekly news episode, in this case a little earlier than weekly, but Jason has some plans.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get the news together early.
Mm-hmm. It was our only recourse.
So not only is my back still incredibly screwed up, as we mentioned last week, I feel incredibly old. Mm. Because
from
even
one
though
one comes the other.
Yeah. I don't care that it's not film news, because I feel like it is. I feel like it, in a way, is. Batman, the animated series, is 25 years old.
Mm.
And I'm not one of these, millennials who caught it in reruns on Toonami. I watched it. First run.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't that mean, though, that a lot of the people that are, involved in creating it were probably about that age when they, really started working on it?
About what age?
25.
Oh. Maybe. I've never really looked into it.
I am just thinking a lot of those people must have spent, like, half their lives with this product in their catalog by now.
Yep. And for some, it's too long. See, Bruce Timm.
Yeah. I mean, for others, though, they're aging like fine wine. See Kevin Conroy. Mark Hamill had a whole other thing going, obviously, before he signed on to this, but still.
Sure.
He's still snapping. I think he was like GQ something or other.
Sure.
That's
weird.
Hey,
look, okay. I know a lot of our listeners are older than we are, but I'm 33. I'm still grappling with it. I'm sorry. I'm not saying you guys are old. I'm just saying I feel old because the thing I love is 25 years old.
Right.
That I was there for.
Right.
It's just the first real pangs of the situation coming in on it.
Yeah.
This is a journey we're taking together. Hold my hand.
Yeah. While we selfishly moan about our age instead of celebrating 25 years of a wonderful product.
Well, that's the other side of the coin.
I mean, we could have taken this a lot of ways, and just look what we did with it. That's all I'm saying.
I think I'm the emotional equivalent of a Batman villain.
Possibly. Me too. Yeah, I could see that.
I take all of that creative energy and just turn it into something negative.
Yeah. And then eat my feelings.
But yeah, Batman the Animated Series is an amazing show. If you haven't seen it, why haven't you? Well, I have a suspicion. Even if you did want to see it, apparently it's really freaking hard to figure out on some of these streaming platforms that it's on.
Although I can try something real quick that I was told about.
Oh yeah?
I'll be.
What's happened?
Amazon Prime has it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
For Amazon Prime members, I believe it is a watch now situation.
Oh, okay.
Yep, sure is. I just clicked on it, and season one, episode one on Leather Wings. It's on my... I gotta watch some weird ad about fairy creatures first, but that looks playful.
Well, the thing is, though, is that I've heard a lot of... there are a lot of fan lists out there, and Eli Opelder is actually turning me onto this notion, because she's trying to watch it. We've had Dr. Steve of Weird Medicine try to watch it and go like, what the hell is happening here? Because of the order that they are trying to show it in.
Mm-hmm.
Do they watch it in airing order? Should they watch it in production order? Then there are fan lists saying that like neither of those are correct because of continuity errors. Like, the only thing I can think of for Batman the Animated Series is, you might see Two-Face before, and then, later on, see him as Harvey Dent before he becomes Two-Face.
I'm just looking at it, and they're definitely not doing it in airing order.
I mean, oh, no. Airing order, Cat in the Claw was the first episode aired.
Yeah.
September 5th, 92, man. I was there. I was watching it.
Yeah.
Which was risky. I know that, you know.
Oh, it's all over the place, too. I'm just kind of glancing at it now, but anyway.
Yeah.
Although it does say on Leather Wings, released September 5th. I don't know why. Did they run them the same night or something? Or they have that wrong?
I think they have that wrong. I think they have that wrong.
They might. They have another episode listed for 2 days later. Heart of Ice. Cat and Claw Part 1. Cat and Claw Part 2, apparently a week after, with two episodes airing in between. This can't be right. This is madness. I just can't.
Yeah, Fox did exactly what they did with their best shows. They aired them out of order.
They did.
And all over the place.
In a last pitch for... this is actually a pretty good thing. Just looking at it, they've got Batman series 1 through 4, which is complete. No matter what order it's in, you can pick your order. I mean, you can if you have a good list somewhere you want to follow. You don't have to watch it in order here. You know.
Mm-hmm.
It also has Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero.
Nice.
It appears to have Superman the Animated Series season 1.
Oh, okay.
Superman cartoons, which looks like Fleischer. Yep. Looks like the Fleischer cartoons are available on Prime at the moment.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen those, you should probably watch those as just a, if nothing else, an aesthetic precursor to Batman the Animated Series.
Yes, definitely.
Just, you know.
One of the coolest things I remember when I was a kid, watching that.
Just looks so good. Just bite your lip with the racism. It's there. It's part of the history. Sorry.
It's part of what happened.
It was World War II, man. Come on.
Yeah.
We know what happened then. Bad things.
Yeah. But apparently a lot of stuff there. Hanging out. I didn't know any of that. I'm excited now. I can just kind of turn this on in the background. I've been having to jump around and find it too, because I don't have hard copies anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the people that I've talked to, they know where they can find it. They just don't know what damn order they should watch it in. Mm. It's the frustrating thing.
It is rough.
As
a rule, just don't watch any of the movies until you've watched other stuff. Start from there.
Yeah, make it like 20 episodes in before you watch Mask of the Phantasm. Or you could just watch it first. That doesn't matter.
No, I mean, it doesn't. But...
just watch Sub-Zero before you watch the new Batman Adventures.
That's true.
Anyway, I think we're going to jump into some other news.
We should probably do that.
Movie news. They've released the first single from Justice League. Gary Clark Jr. and Junkie XL's Come Together cover, The Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
You know that song.
I'm familiar, yeah. I kind of enjoyed that little clip. I haven't gone back to listen to the whole thing yet, see if the song is good, but, you know, might be my favorite so far. I've only heard really, like, Soundgarden and Aerosmith and a couple, I think, like,
yeah.
Godsmack may have covered them or something.
I mean, it sounds okay.
Quite right. I always hoped someone would do, like, another version of this. And it may be one of those where the original's not going to be beaten.
Mm. I don't even really like the original very much.
I do like it. I really do.
It's fine. It's all right. It was just.
I doubt you've ever like cringed when it came on the radio.
What's that?
I doubt you've ever cringed when it came on the radio.
I have. I absolutely have. Just went, ugh. For me, like that. That's Come Together is the is like for the Beatles. What Don't Come Around Here No More is for like Tom Petty. I'm just like, ugh. I have to listen to this again. And then I go, oh, no, I don't. And I change the channel. It's just not one of my favorites. It's just humdrums rote for me. I'm just like, oh, gosh, guys. You guys, I feel like the Beatles just, like, sat down in a room and went, what should we write? How about the most Beatles song ever? Let's play up on all of our stereotypes. Like, everything people expect from us, let's do it in this song. That's what I feel like. And I might not be right about that, but this way it feels.
Yeah, I would definitely disagree.
Okay.
But it would take a very long time to properly disagree with you.
That's fair. That's why I only listen to the last half of Abbey Road.
Yeah. I to sum up my disagreement, I would say that I would choke at the suggestion that the song that starts Abbey Road is humdrum. I would beg to differ.
I'm not even going to give you the satisfaction of begging. I'm just going to differ.
That's fine. Save me the begging.
All right. Send your hate mail to dconscreen@gmail.com. Suicide Squad 2, apparently, according to sources, you know, those wonderful, infamous sources, has found a writer and director. It's being reported that Gavin O'Connor, who did The Accountant, is going to be doing Suicide Squad 2. I've never seen The Accountant. That's the movie that came out last year with Ben Affleck.
Right.
That, you know, kind of flopped and only got like a 51% over on Rotten Tomatoes. And
which I don't know why we keep suggesting means anything.
I don't know.
It's almost out of habit.
Well, no. You know, I kind of feel like it's because you can expect Suicide Squad 2 to get as much shit as the first one did. Yeah, as far as, like, clickbait, we're going to hear a lot of stuff about how bad it's going to be. And they're going to bring up the 51% over on Rotten Tomatoes for Gavin O'Connor. They're going to bring up the fact that The Accountant was kind of a flop.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen. Just letting you know.
Yeah, sure.
I've never seen it.
All I know about it is the trailer did look okay, but it's not really a style of movie I sit down for a lot.
I want to say Scott over at Squadcast liked it. I want to say.
Right.
So here's the thing. If you guys are seeing a bunch of clickbait saying that Jared Leto is furious over the Joker and over Leonardo DiCaprio, I've even seen some that are saying, like, Jared Leto and Leonardo DiCaprio are in a feud. Here's what's really happening. Jared Leto says, I'm a little confused, too. There are a couple of things happening in the DC world. I love the Joker. He's a great character and really fun character to play. But it's a big universe, and when you play the Joker, there's no ownership there. You have the honor of holding the baton for a little while and then passing it off. There are other films that are in development, and I'm excited to see what comes from them.
Yeah, he sounds pissed.
Yeah. They even asked him if he was, like, you know, still playing the Joker in subsequent movies, and he just said, I think so. You know, I mean, what do you want from the guy? Like, I don't think he's that pissed.
You know, nor is he in control. He said, like, yeah, I don't know. There's stuff happening over there. That's basically what he started with.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there are a bunch of rumors surrounding the Shazam casting. And none of this is for real, but we can talk about it for a little bit because it's kind of funny. That hashtag show is basically saying that according to their sources, their magical sources, John Cena of wrestling, which he's done some acting. Let's not throw him out completely, but
yeah,
he's a fan favorite for the role. I don't understand why, but because honestly, every time I see that dude, it gripes my ass. Like, every time.
I don't know if it's that bad.
And that internet meme, the Cena meme, is, like, you start watching a video, and all of a sudden, John Cena comes out, and it's, like, a whole thing, and it's, like, it's the Rick Rolling of our time here. I mean, of 2017, I guess. 2016, 2017.
of our month.
I was like, damn it, I was there for Rick Rolling. Back to being old. So, yeah, John Cena is apparently rumored to be a front runner for the role, as is Joshua Sasse, I think. I don't know. He's of Gallivant, and I wouldn't be opposed to him. I don't know his work, but he looks a little bit like Henry Cavill, like enough like Henry Cavill that it would feel like Shazam was a little bit of a ripoff, which I feel like is important because, you know, I mean, this is what this kid wants to be. This is what Billy Batson wants to be. Superman.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. Anyway.
Yeah, I can see it.
There's also a third guy, Derek Thieler. And apparently he has posted a bunch of stuff on his Instagram, like a photograph of his own shadow with a superimposed lightning bolt on the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also followed David Sandberg, Jeff Johns, Ben Affleck, Stephen Amell, Margot Robbie. There's been a lot of following going back and forth between all these people.
Mm-hmm.
So Derek Thieler might be a contender. He's certainly got the body type. I would hope they dyed his hair black because he's like a blonde dude. But you know what? I don't care. Whatever.
There should be like a term for that by now when there's a lot of following happening. Like some sort of following storm or a, I don't know, grassroots following campaign.
Right. So he was in Ninjak versus the Marvel Universe.
They formed a fellowship.
Yeah. He was a XO Man of War in Ninjak versus the Marvel Universe. So yeah, he's also going to be Immortal Man apparently in the New Warriors show. So that's a lot of Marvel stuff to be a DC person, but I guess it could happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover with these things. I didn't read it, but I saw some top 25 or 15, I think it maybe was, Marvel characters who were in DC, and you didn't know it.
Yeah, Clark Kent was on there, right?
I like I said, I didn't look at it. One of the images was of Chris Evans. I thought, yeah, you're right. I don't know what DC thing he was in. I don't...
Yeah, I don't,
you got
I don't
me, headline.
All right. So, good news, bad news. Aquaman rapped. They had a rap party. Bad news, a crew member was stabbed.
Yeah.
And I chuckle because it's so absurd, not because he was stabbed, and also he's okay.
He's fine.
But
and has a hell of a story now.
Yeah, well, not even really. I mean, it's just a weird little blurb.
I don't know. It's a weird little blurb in the national news line, but in like in the news line of him like meeting people and having stories to tell. I got stabbed after the Aquaman rap party. It's not a bad start.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the story right there. I mean, that's not even burying the lead at all. That's just the story. It's not even a start.
It at least gets you to the floor for a few minutes.
Unfortunately, you don't need a few minutes because you're done.
You can flesh it out with how that one guy came at you from behind.
I feel
Which
like
is
a
what
lot
happened,
of
I feel.
I feel like a lot of stories that start out with I was leaving the pub ends up with there was a guy coming at me from behind.
Right. I didn't see the other guy is somewhere in that story.
Yeah. So he was leaving a pub, talking to some women after the party, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
This dude comes up to him. They describe him as confrontational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then the guy walked away. And, like, the fight had de-escalated, the article says. Then he came back, and then a second dude come up from behind with a knife. So the dude was taken to the hospital, and wasn't too bad. He's been released already. But three other people apparently sustained minor injuries when they tried to, like, take down the guy. But the attacker took off, and a 22-year-old man has been arrested for the assault now. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind of wish there was... I feel like there's a lot more to the story that they're just not telling us. Like, you know, maybe
Probably
the Aquaman crew member... Like, the Aquaman crew member was hitting on the guy's wife or keyed his car or something.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've become every adult I've ever known.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, well, what did you say to him? Before he stabbed you, what did you do to him?
Nothing. Jeremy. Keyed his car and I put my penis in his drink.
Wasn't worth it. It totally burned.
Yeah. He wouldn't have known, but when I keyed his car, I put my penis in your drink.
My pee hole's all red now.
Mm-hmm.
Burns.
Mm-hmm. Bloody
anyway, on the listener feedback. This is going to devolve quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If it hasn't already.
Yeah, it sure has.
Woohoo! Randall Smith sends us an email with the subject Witter Woman. He says, quote, "She puts a smile on my face. The voice, inflections, and country references remind me of childhood summers in Appalachian Kentucky, spending time with elderly relatives. Whoever calls is at least my age or older. I bet you never heard of looking for corn cobs when there was nothing else to clean with. Smiley face, Randy." No, I haven't. I don't think I've heard of corn cobs to clean your ass with, Randy. But I've spent some time with elderly relatives. I'm only 33. Now I'm going to try to reverse that old thing from earlier. Right. I'm only 33.
Yeah, you're just being more progressive mentally now. It's good. You're taking
I'm
steps.
Trying. I'm you're trying. Steps. Now that I've, while you were talking earlier, I got a subscription to Prevention Magazine.
Not that I just thought you Googled therapy.
No, I've spent some time with some elderly relatives. I've heard stories of the outhouses and using different sorts of leaves to wipe with, and
I've seen some of it.
Some instances, stones, pointy stones. Not jagged, mind you.
I mean, I have picked cotton on a relative's cotton field.
Have you?
Yeah. I was wee.
been
to another relative's chicken farm.
We do live in Alabama. Some of the old ways still kind of hang out in certain circles. And
But even at that level, they just called their outhouses trailers and sheds.
Yeah.
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 It wasn't as limited as the previous use.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've been around it. I've not necessarily taken part of it. But see, there's a positive for you, Witter Woman, if you're still listening. There's someone who enjoys you.
Maybe we should just hook up their email accounts and made the magic never end.
Witter Woman, listener of one. But you know, Dr. Steve has thrown in his support for the Witter Woman.
Mm.
He was saying like the after credits Witter Woman from last week was his favorite ever or something. So I actually meant to write it down, but I didn't. But
you did paraphrase it, which is
I did.
A couple points.
Yeah. I saw it after I'd already put away everything and went, huh, okay. And then I went to sleep. So Sherman Smith over on Facebook says, the next three are for our question about the what DC movie you would like to see. We talked about that in the last episode with Eli Opelders of Stealing the Remote, a show you should all go check out. But Sherman Smith says Superman's Secret Origin by Jeff Johns and Gary Frank because it's the best Superman origin ever. That is a good one. Joseph White said Blackest Night, and Nate Lucas says Crisis on Infinite Earths. Thank you guys for responding to that.
I know the second two are good calls. I actually don't know the first one.
Really?
Yeah. I gather I should look into that.
Sure.
The never-ending to read list.
Yep. So Dr. Steve lets us know, says, by the way, I'm still open for you guys to send me some questions, which I can answer on my show and give you the audio for yours.
Oh, yeah, that's totally happening.
Yeah. I have one question. We have one question in the bank right now. I'd forgotten about the we send him questions thing.
No, that was on my to-do list. When television started, the only notes I was really going to be making, they were going to be like, okay, your body can't do that. I got to call Steve about this.
Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten we were going to do that. I was just like thinking, like compiling questions for the next episode that he comes and hangs out with us.
Oh, yeah. No, we were going to do another one of those too, where we maybe ask the fans at some point, hey, what would you like to ask Dr. Steve about? The last time we did the crossover, it was more like superheroes, kind of ups and downs. We did a little bit of just kind of bullshitting about our past with the comics and stuff like that. But we did try to have some legitimate questions for him about, like, powers and the eligibility of some people, or how believable certain things were.
Yeah, we got a lot of good feedback on that episode too.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to let us know, that we should do another one of those episodes, feel free to send us a question to ask him.
Yeah,
that'd be a good way to start banking enough questions to do it to get him over again. And my suggestion would be like, just if there's something you've seen someone do and thought, oh, nah, or maybe some superpower that you really wish was true and believable and something that might happen, anything along those lines. Just any of the medical aspects of something. Like, we spent a ton of time on Dark Knight Rises when we talked to him, because there's a lot of parts in that movie that have medically questionable conceits. And we wanted it verified that our indignation at that movie was justified. He was with us except for one point, I think, which he did. If you haven't listened, gave some good advice on how to go back and watch The Dark Knight Rises with a slightly different take on kind of the end of that movie that makes a little bit of sense.
I think I've erased that from my memory. I'll have to go back and listen.
Yeah, him. He kind of suggested that Bruce Wayne's spine injury was more psychosomatic than.
Oh right, I remember that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else? He did agree that James Gordon would have died in the sewers,
right? From sepsis,
from a variety of injuries. He would have died from body death. That's what he would have died from.
Mainly bullet wound being introduced to sepsis.
Yeah.
Just sewage water going into
sewage
a bullet
water
wound.
Going into bullet hole.
Yeah, yeah.
That will get you 100% of the time, my friends.
All right. So that brings us to the end of the film segment. Now, because there is strength in numbers, you should go on over to iTunes, give us a 5-star written review, if you think we deserve it anyway. We currently have an average of 4.5 stars out of 5, with 56 ratings. I'd love to see that that number hit 100 by the end of the year. And
we have a goal.
Do that for us. If you want to talk to us on Twitter, DC on Screen, you can connect with us on Facebook as well, and Instagram. Email us at dconscreen@gmail.com, or you can catch up with me personally at David C. Robertson, one word. If you want to call us, leave us a voicemail for the show. We'll play it, 205-259-6331. All right, so over to DC TV news, and we are going to get super spoilery on things. We're going to talk about stuff that, I mean, if you haven't caught up on the shows, you're probably going to get spoiled somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and I think they're all on Netflix right now, so you've got about... I don't know, 4 weeks on average? 3 weeks, maybe?
I don't think...
It's not
long. I don't think Gotham Season 3 is on Netflix yet.
That one may not be. But the CW stuff, get over there.
Right.
Get over there.
All right, yeah. So, starting off with Gotham, apparently Jim Gordon is going to be hunting Bruce Wayne this year. John Stevens was talking to DC All Access, and he said, in the first half of the season this year, Jim Gordon is going to try to loosen Penguin's hold upon Gotham. He does that by forming an alliance with Sophia Falcone, who Crystal Reed is playing, and the two of them work together to basically try to dethrone Penguin. Sounds fine. Then he says, at the same time, Bruce Wayne is going to go out there and start operating as a vigilante wearing a mask, and then moving forward after that, Jim Gordon will realize that the vigilante is operating out there in Gotham somewhere, and he goes, I'm going to hunt this guy down. And we have Jim Gordon and a masked Bruce Wayne going head-to-head. That sounds boring to me. That sounds awful to me.
No. Not yet. I've liked a lot of Jim and... Bruce's scenes in the series so far. So give it that. Just give it that.
I do give it that. It just sounds like everything we've seen before.
I mean, not really. We haven't seen Gordon specifically try to go after Bruce. And I know he's not going after Bruce. He's going after the vigilante. But still,
yeah.
It is part of their history that's how their relationship starts. Is he's the clean guy who's going to... He's going to clean up Gotham City, and then you know, the vigilante's a criminal too, and they have a coming to terms. That's a popular part of the backstory.
I know.
Or, shall I say, one of the popular backstories.
Right. I don't know. Something about, even the Penguin stuff, that sounds kind of fine. You know, it's Gordon forming an alliance with Sophia, and then it's like, oh, wait, there's another guy. There's Bruce Wayne. He's a vigilante. That just feels like Gotham. I think that's my main issue, is it feels like Gotham.
But Gotham, you know, it's a you take it for good or ill kind of thing.
I know.
Because there'll be one storyline that bores you for 3 or 4 episodes, and then there'll be like 6 where you're every week we're like, fuck, they got it. They're doing it. This is fantastic.
Yeah, you turn into Rick Sanchez.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pulling it off. They're pulling it off, Morty.
They're pulling it off, Rony. Yeah. They're going to do it. Yeah. No, every now and then they have this run where you can't believe you ever question the show, and then some decent storyline will wrap up and you'll think, oh, what's next? And then kind of the last scene of the episode from that arc, it'll show something and you think, oh, please, no, God, no. But that's where you're going to go for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah,
So it giveth and it taketh. But I ask not anything frometh.
I do admit, generally, when I sit down and watch Gotham, I go, ugh, all right. Yeah. And I never know. Sometimes at the end of the episode, I was like, oh, that was dope. And sometimes I'm just like, yep, that's about right.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but when Gotham started before we started the show, and we would have, we'd have weeks where... I remember, several times where me and you said, like, do you watch Gotham yet? No, I'm behind about 2 weeks. Yeah, me too. And then a couple weeks later, you watch Gotham yet? No, but I was finally going through tonight. It just amounted to like we'd be binging 4 or 5 episodes at a time occasionally, you know, just catching up. And, you know, sometimes it was week to week, but most of the time it was like, what are you watching now? And then I don't know, it was a shuffling pattern.
Yeah.
So the thing I kind of, it's so weird though. Like when you watch 5 episodes of something, if 3 of those episodes are kind of eh, and 2 of those episodes are very much, oh God. And you just get like 2 good episodes somewhere in between. You just click next. And I don't know why. I don't know why, but it doesn't affect you as much. At the end of those 5 episodes that had a C-minus average, you're like, oh, man, it's a B show. I mean, it's good. I don't know what that is, but it's like when you see a bad episode and you're watching it every week, you get to the end of that episode, stinger, whatever it is, or proper close. And if it's a bad one, you just kind of shrug and go, oh, I've got to live with this for a week. It's like it hits you harder.
I don't know.
You can't just click next and be like, maybe it'll be good again.
I don't know, man. Because like when I'm streaming, when I'm most like binging a show, if like 3 of those are pretty mediocre and then like 2 of them are bad, I'm just like, oh, gosh, it's just not getting any better. It's like so much bad. But then like if I'm watching it week to week, there's a certain element of at least it's over for a week. I don't know.
I've done that too, I guess.
I guess with the stream, with like the binging, I keep saying streaming, but I'm streaming it anyway. With the binging, though, I tend to, if it's bad, I will check out. I will start doing something else while it just plays in the background.
Yeah, that has gotten me through a few shows that were just barely worth watching, but had some real bad moments.
I'm just always listening for Bullock's voice, because when he says, I'm like, oh, it's Bullock, let's see what he has to say.
Time to pay attention. Yeah.
that Bullock.
All right, I've done it a few times. Right. I think it's a little bit like if you're a gambler and you get in there and you spend all your money too fast, and then you have to wait to come back and wait and wait and wait because you've got to build up enough money to finally go back to a casino.
Yeah,
but you just got in and out, and it was like, man, out too early. Now I'm gonna wait all this time. That feels like week to week to me sometimes. Like, I gambled on that episode and I lost. I can't go back to the casino for a week.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Works the other way around, though. When you get a really good one, you kind of ride on that little... maybe you're having a bad day somewhere in the remainder of that week, and you just kind of think to yourself, man, Flash was good this week, though.
That's pretty much what it is for me. It's like, out of the 6 or 7 shows we watch, there's usually one that was really decent, at least enough to like make me like keep my brain active until the next week.
And you really chew on it.
Yeah.
I feel you. I've had a couple of like really frustrating moments, and just thought, but I don't know what is going to happen with Arrow. He's trapped. It's good seeing him and Josh Segura are killing it. All right, I guess I'm going to go back to work.
All right. Over to Supergirl. They're talking about how they're going to be exploring Kara and Alex's relationship. There's the 6th episode of the season called Midvale. They're going to do a flashback. They're going to go back to their childhood home, and they're going to have flashbacks of a murder mystery that from their high school days that shaped who they are and their relationship.
That sounds interesting.
And that sounds trite. I don't know. There's something about it. It seems so sourced and stupid.
No, so I mean, it definitely could come across that way, but it's so, I don't know, it's different. Like, a murder mystery in high school is not an episode of Supergirl normally, but if they did that really well and the themes were strong, that could be a strong episode.
Could be.
It's got potential to completely tank, but it has potential to actually be a really poignant episode.
Yeah, and not only that, we're going to have to deal with the fact that they have recast younger Kara. The girl that's been playing her all this time has moved on to some other show. I don't remember what it was because I had no interest in it. But they replaced her with Isabella Vidovic. Isabella Vidovic. So, I don't know. But Benoist said, you'll get to see through the way they interact, how their relationship started when Kara first came to Earth, how it grew, how it became so close, and why they're so close nowadays.
Yeah, I mean... Again, it depends on how strong the theme is and how well they play that. So I think if you do that, you can do some great character development.
I'm
kind of really rooting for them on this one. It feels like I'd like to think they're swinging for the fences and not just kind of riding you know, a filler episode. But they've gone through the trouble of recasting. Maybe they really feel it. Maybe they have like a really good idea they're feeling good about.
You know, I feel like I never had a problem believing that the Danvers sisters were anything but. I feel the closeness of their relationship in the show. I don't need a flashback. I'm okay if we never get any more flashbacks of Kara. It was kind of too much when they were like, hey, that kid in the back saw her do that thing from that flashback, and then he became a supervillain.
Yeah, that was a little too much because I just didn't like that story.
And now they're solving a freaking murder mystery in high school? Come on. Stupid.
They could do neat things with it. They could. I mean, they could... there's a lot of complex maturity involved in maybe the idea that the slightly older sister knows how powerful the younger sister is. There's a murder mystery. Who knows who the murderer is? I mean, it could be someone they really care about. So there could be some rage issues with her trying to temper Kara a little bit and say, like, no, you can't use your powers. Like, that might be fun. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more of a Kara gets blamed for it kind of situation at first. And you get to see, like, her older sister protect her. And you could do neat things with it, I think.
Yeah, you could.
But the idea that...
They won't.
I'm going to hold out hope for him until I see the episode now.
But, fair enough. Yeah,
the idea, though, that, like, the older human sister was the, I don't know, the protector of that group of siblings mm-hmm. for as long as she was, there's got to be something neat back there.
Maybe. We'll see. Andrew Kreisberg is saying, he says, Kara and Alex are at the center of it through all four episodes of the crossover. One of the things we've been doing a lot this season is getting back to season one and really making it Danvers sisters-centric. So a lot of what's going on this season is Kara and Alex doing things in tandem, and the crossover won't be any different. Like I said, I'm fine with them being a big thing in Supergirl. I don't know about high school murder mysteries, but... I like the relationship the characters have. Not sure I want to see it for four episodes of a giant crossover.
I don't know. If I build on my optimism and say I think they may... I have a suspicion someone has a good theme they're working on for the murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And if that theme can expand itself into, well, what are we doing this season? You know, season. Like, is it, you know, is it building or destroying a relationship between two siblings? Or which way are we going with it in general? Like, if they make kind of a nice emotional arc for those two characters across the season,
mm-hmm.
I guess across the first half probably, because if the crossover is in the first half, and it is. So I don't know exactly where that story culminates, but it could be a nice thing. If they can pull off a relationship that's got a cool thematic base and a cool premise for that half of the season, admittedly, Kara and well, both Danvers, basically, are
mm-hmm.
kind of fan favorites. They both kicked a lot of fan ass in their own right. And I was just kind of curious about how they're going to make... did it not sound a little bit like they were almost apologizing for last year? They're like, four-part crossover! And then Kara was there with a little bit of company, but it was just basically a Supergirl got hugely written out, or not written out, but hugely ignored. And then this year they're like, okay, it's four-part, I promise. Even Alex and Kara are the main thing.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, maybe, probably. I mean, they have kind of... It seems like they have kind of apologized for that in the past, at least.
They have... Their wording has indicated that, yeah, I thought we back on a lot far on that.
All right, so you're doubling down on your positivity kick.
I think I can bail on that now, yeah.
Oh, you're bailing on the positivity kick now.
Yeah.
I thought you were doubling down on it for the crossover.
No. I'm doubling down on my optimism, but it will fade before the crossover fares, I'm sure. Or actually airs, I'm sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little dubious as to how well they can do these crossovers. I'm a little dubious about a lot of things with these guys. Certain shows. Like, I trust The Flash generally. You know, we had a great season of Arrow, but I'm not sold. Mm. I mean, you know, no one get upset. I'm still buying all the Blu-rays. I'm even buying the Legends of Tomorrow Blu-rays, and that show is awful.
Yeah.
Not as bad as Vixen, but hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Vixen's going to be kind of our... is that going to be Mystery of the Batwoman for us?
What's that?
Is Vixen going to be like Mystery of the Batwoman for us in this canon?
No, because Vixen so far hasn't been that problematic in terms of continuity. Right now, I'm going to point at Legends for that role. Hmm. I mean, I say all this stuff with, you know, excitement that the stuff's coming back.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
But still. All right. So over the Flash, Danielle Panabaker, Caitlin Snow has said that season four takes place about 6 months between the end of season three and the beginning of season four. I don't know what that means, but I don't know. How would season four take place then? Anyway, they say the time jump is not only going to show Team Flash trying to protect Central City in the absence of the Flash, but Panabaker says that the time jump will also address the absence of Julian Albert. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And Andrew Kreisberg is saying that Barry and Iris are finally going to get married this season, and then it's going to be, can they stay married with everything that's coming up against them? I really don't want them to do a thing where they're, you know, constantly threatening to divorce them.
Yeah, that would bore me a little bit. I would prefer, and look at me wanting to double down on things all day today. I would prefer they double down on, no, they're married. They're a team now. Mm-hmm. So like every time mm-hmm. Barry does something, I wish they would kind of make Iris's relationship with Barry more like, Barry, my husband could do this. Get out there.
Yeah.
She has shown a lot of signs of it, especially this season, where she's more like, no, you're the freaking Flash. You can do this. I believe you. I trust you. Mm-hmm. I love you. You'll be fine. But being the kind of the brave standby that gives him, you know, courage to go do something, that's been wonderful. Like Iris really worked into her own, being the like his best speechwriter, I'll call it.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't want him to double. I don't want to double back and be like, we're married now, Barry. We've started a family, and I just wish you weren't in danger all the time. And like they've shown progress there. I don't want that revoked.
Yeah. I'd love for her to become a reporter again, though. That'd be cool. I don't need Iris to just be a cheerleader for the Flash.
Yeah, she probably needs
constantly nursing his inexplicably sour self-esteem.
Sure.
Go maybe report a thing, lady.
Go back to school or something. Anything. I mean, you're right. I could handle her having a 40 an hour occupation that's not.
Yeah.
Being great at what she's doing, by the way, but and being a genuine help to Team Flash, but like you'd like her to have her own storyline a little bit.
I wish agency was a thing that you could buy tangibly, and so I could send crates of it to Iris and Thea.
I know. They both did get better last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, Iris had the whole, like, I'm gonna die thing, so I don't blame her for not being a reporter proper, but...
Yeah. Whereas we would like to send them crates of agency in the years before, we were hoping to send them shiploads.
Mm-hmm. It has gotten better.
It has gotten better.
It has gotten better.
But it's not there yet.
So this cracked me up.
Crack away.
Mark Guggenheim was talking about Legends of Tomorrow. He says, people, places, and things have been displaced. They talk about Julius Caesar roaming modern-day Aruba. Apparently Guggenheim wants to bring Genghis Khan storming 1980s Wall Street. And Guggenheim says the approach was to take everything that worked last year and double down.
Yay, we have a theme.
Go further, make it zanier. He says, last year we lived maybe 5 inches from the jump the shark line. Now we're 2 inches in front of it.
I have never heard that in my life.
Now, Mark Guggenheim, this is basically what I call this.
I have never heard a producer say before a season even aired that
this show is close to jumping the shark, guys.
We have been toying with the shark hard. We're hard flirting with it. At this point, the shark either wants to fuck us or fight us. But we're that close to its face.
I don't think you know what that phrase means.
Breathing down the shark's neck.
Oh. I would, of course, disagree with Mark Guggenheim. I would say they jumped the shark a long time ago.
Which may still be true, but now they've found a greater, wider shark.
No, you know what? I'll place my flag in the sand at George Lucas.
Well, specifically the spot of land you're putting it on, the single three-leaf clover on which you're going to break ground, has got to be when he says, like, I want to be a director! And saves the world, right?
No, I place it before that when they're in the trash compactor. No, that's so on the nose.
Oh, I know, it's so on the nose, but then... same scene when he's saying, like, I want to be a director. And
I know. It's the same scene, but it just came earlier for me where I was like,
so our compromise is when they got in there, that's when you broke ground. And I'm just talking about screwing that poor clover deeper and deeper into the earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. If it had only had that four leaf.
So they're making much ado about the vigilante over in Arrow.
Sure.
They've been saying that each of the villains is going to be matched with someone on the team, like Anatoly with Oliver, Black Siren and Black Canary. And they said the same can be said of Vigilante. Stephen Amell says, I know who he is. I'm not going to tell you who he is, but I will tell you Vigilante is a villain, if you want to call him that, for a member of the team as well. As a rule, I'm not a fan of mystery characters who, when you take the mask, the audience goes, wait a minute, I've never seen that person before in my life. I'm probably not spoiling anything by saying whoever's underneath the mask, you've seen that person before, says Mark Guggenheim. So,
kind of dig it.
Yeah.
Kind of dig all that.
Yeah, I'm down with all that. I'm down with all of that. That's fine.
I mean, I like that he gets bored with, aha, I'm a person you've never seen before. Now sit back for 2 minutes of exposition after the commercial break.
Yeah. Now, kind of placing a villain, having a villain per hero. Every hero having their own villain in the season, kind of. I understand it, because, you know, you kind of need something for everybody to do. But it feels a bit hackish.
No, I mean, to me it feels like they're just kind of upping the ante. Where it's
you know, like, maybe Curtis shouldn't have a villain this year, per se. Like, a tangible, like, real-person villain. Maybe he should just, you know, deal with the fact that he wants to run around the city in tights fighting crime, as opposed to having a life with his husband.
Yeah, I mean, that, and, you know, they can definitely deal with that. But when they say that they're going to all have a villain, they don't necessarily mean at the same time. I'm kind of hoping that it's sporadic.
I figure.
For, like, the first half of the season, there are hints, and maybe a couple people deal up front with theirs, and then second half of the season, it's less hints and more directly, like, oh my god, we have our own Injustice Society to deal with, you know? I'm hoping it's something...
See, that's the part that I'm sort of going, no, I don't want that.
No, like, like their own crime syndicate kind of situation.
I understand the concept. I just don't really want that.
I'm kind of digging it as a finale, but I want you to earn it. Obviously, I would like to see Curtis deal with his you know, choosing to basically abandon his partner for this situation.
Yeah. I guess I'm just thinking, like, you know, in terms of, you know, how you, if you tell like a super big Marvel fan. That Obadiah Stane was a shitty villain in the first Iron Man movie, you know, at least a really thoughtful Marvel fan is going to go, well, he wasn't the real villain of Iron Man. Tony Stark was the real villain of Iron Man. He was fighting himself. which is true. It's absolutely true.
And a better take on it.
You know, and fair.
And but, I think probably something Favreau would agree with.
Yeah, sure. But you got to have an Obadiah Stane for, you know, people who don't understand, like, subtext. And that's fine, too. It's just, you know, I kind of want more... I really dug the character development and the character arcs that were happening in Season 5. I don't need a villain for every single character.
No, but, to see your point, though, like, Prometheus was a great example of what you're talking about. He really was the instrument through which Oliver fought himself over a period of time.
And the bit where Oliver, like... broke and admitted that he liked killing.
Yeah.
That was my favorite Oliver moment.
That was the best acted Stephen Amell moment I've ever witnessed.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea's definitely got potential.
Yeah. You know,
I'm pretty excited about it. I hope they do a good job with it. I think they've done a pretty good job with subplots and you know, making sure that thematically they match up with the main thing. I think they've got it. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. I hold out hope for all of these things, obviously.
Sure.
It's
September, the season of hope.
Right. So, Guggenheim says, we're doing a cool two-parter, but the flashbacks will be from Slade's perspective. Excited about that. He says it's very much a Slade-Oliver two-hander. That, again, two-hander. I don't think you know what that means, Guggenheim. Stop saying weird stuff.
Two-parter That's, would suffice.
It sounds like they're jerking each other off.
Well, maybe he just thinks it's like boxing, where he's like, I'm going to get you with one hand, I'm going to get you with the other hand. I don't know.
I don't, yeah.
He thinks it's like jabbing the hook. Which is fine if he pulls it off. You know, as an audience member, you want a jab and a hook for two episodes straight. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Googs says, we basically showed the audiences at the end of season 5 that the Mirakuru is out of Slade's system. Now we're dealing with him, with a Slade Wilson who is sort of in possession of all of his marvels. But to me, what makes the character so interesting is he's never black or white. He's never pure good or pure evil. He is complicated. It's not that he's beyond redemption. It's that you never know what you're going to get with him.
That tracks.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting. This is interesting and kind of makes me feel like we won't be seeing Joe over in the DCEU as Deathstroke anytime soon. Because, and I haven't heard anyone else actually report on this as what this means, but Guggenheim was talking about why they didn't have Deathstroke on Arrow for so long, and he says it was actually a function of DC controls these characters, and we went through a period where DC was like, we've got plans for Deathstroke that don't involve Arrow. That changed at the end of the year.
Again, that tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it, Joe Montaniglio?
Manganiello.
Manganiello?
Manganiello.
All right, Joe Monticello, when he was doing his early interviews, he was very insistent that, like, oh, I'm looking forward to it, and I've been taking classes and sword fighting. And then that eventually waned to, like, yeah, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And then that became no interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was sad about. That I really liked that guy.
Yeah. So, now, Wendy Miracle told TV Line, we have this amazing story that is going to tie in with Oliver's dealings with his own son as he helps Slade find Joe Wilson. So, they're gonna be finding Joe Wilson. So, I guess the Arrow comics are not canon, guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, you know, I've seen enough expanded universe stuff to know that it wasn't going to be canon for long.
I hadn't kept up at all, but...
Like, if they, you know, like they did this little, like, I don't know. I think it was like season 2.5 or some shit where they like went back and showed what happened with that, with his son. And, yeah.
I think they had a 1.5 for Flash around the same time.
Yeah. That's why I don't read those. It's because I just don't believe that this is going to be true.
I don't know. There's been a couple of, what was it? Supergirl and Barry that were going to get novels.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
I think it was those two. It was several weeks ago.
All right. So they have cast, Jericho or, Joe Wilson. And it's going to be, where's the guy's name? I had the guy's name right here. I swear.
Maybe he's already been recast.
How did I not put his name down? That's sad.
Oh.
I must have been really sleepy last night.
You normally are.
Yeah. I'll find it. It's a guy who was on Lucifer. They're like, Lucifer alum? And I was like, who did he play on Lucifer? I don't recognize the dude. Yeah. And then, he was like on one episode.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just throw in a guy from one episode and say, DC alum.
Yeah. Liam Hall. Yeah, Liam sorry. Hall. Liam Hall. They're describing him as such. The son of one of Green Arrow's greatest foes, Joe Wilson has followed in his father's footsteps by joining the secret Australian military agency, ASIS. After years of brutal combat, Joe now finds himself in a remote Kasnian prison under the alias Kane Wolfman, fighting for his life. So, Marv Wolfman and, you know, Gil Kane, I would imagine. Yeah. Though, it's the writers of this show, so it was probably Bob Kane, because they just made Arrow Batman here. But, anyway. Habla habla. I'm interested to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I'm staring at his face right now, and I have no idea where I saw him on Lucifer.
Yeah, me either.
It could have been anything from the major guy that episode to waiter. I don't know.
Right. Oh, man. So over on Titans, they're getting right along in the casting. They have officially cast Alan Ritchson as Hawk. So I guess that probably means Alan Ritchson won't be Shazam, for those of you holding out hope. Mm-hmm. And Minka Kelly as Dove. I'm ridiculously excited about Hawk and Dove being in the show. I don't even know why. I just am.
I'm not sure why either. I mean, they're all right. But I've never been super excited about them. So I just hope you're right.
Oh, I don't know. Like, sometimes I get super excited about things just because they're so obscure, and for some reason it feels like we're winning. Like, I remember I walked into a Walmart and the DC Universe Classics line of action figures from Mattel were out on the stands at that point. On the stands. Out in just retail stores. And I walk in and I look at them and they have a hawk and a dove. And I was very excited about that. I've never been a huge fan of the characters. They're fine. They're awesome. But, I mean, you know, they're not my favorites. But I was so excited about them.
There's a huge category of people that I've never been excited about, but I've never turned them away either.
Yeah. That day I bought a dove, a hawk, and a Professor Zoom action figure.
Why not?
So, well, it's freaking Reverse Flash. How you not? How you not? Sure. How you not?
Gotta have someone to stand ominously behind your Flash action figure.
I just had him standing next to my Johnny Quick action figure.
That's even more ominous.
Anyway. Over to some listener feedback for the television news. Sherman Smith posts on Facebook, "I could forgive some story flaws if the characters are done well. That means I'll be watching the next season of Flash and Arrow, but probably not Supergirl or Legends." That's gonna make it tough during the crossover, Sherm.
It is gonna make it tough. That's my only warning to you is you are making that. That's a risk you're taking.
Mm-hmm. I want you to know that.
I do kind of understand.
I do too. I wasn't even gonna say it or talk about it, but like the super big news that they've been talking about on Legends for this week is that Mick is afraid of clowns. That is such a boring trope now. Like, yeah, this big guy who has a gun, he's real tough, but he's afraid of clowns.
We're so clever. It's in the been done category.
Oh my lord, just has it been hard. Done.
Very hard.
They're so proud of themselves for it. Like, I just want to hit them all so much.
I know.
Well, I understand. Not hit. You know, just lightly tap with a newspaper and go, "No, what did you do? What did you do?"
Yeah, I understand.
Andrew Getze writes to us on Twitter, says, "Oh, stop whining about death non-permanence. John Barrowman would hardly be the most egregious. He was off-screen and has mystery powers." Oh, Andrew. Drew. Can I call you Drew? Thanks. I don't care if it's Barrowman or not. I don't care. Like, it's like, what's his name? Max Landis pointed out that when Superman came back from the dead, in The Death and Return of Superman, he basically killed death in comics. Because suddenly everybody started returning from death. Oh, Superman came back, everybody can. Mm-hmm. I think the important thing here is that, yes, you know, it's like what Joss Whedon said, all right? You give the audience what they need, not what they want. I need for death to matter. I need for the stakes to matter on these shows. So, yeah, I like John Barrowman. No, I don't necessarily feel like the entire time his character was done enough justice in the writing. I kind of feel like he kind of wafted and waned, and they just brought him in willy-nilly at times. And then there are other times where you're like, why isn't Malcolm Merlyn here?
Yeah.
He should be. So, that's not Barrowman's fault, but, I know he has mystery powers. We know he's the magician, but they've even talked about it. It seems like he's going to be coming back in time travel, it's probably going to be like, oh, a past version of Malcolm Merlyn. That's fine. But it's not going to feel like it has any... His death is not going to have any damn resonance, because we're not going to get a break from him. We're not going to, like, I actually like how they've handled Tommy. I'm actually really, like, they showed him, like, once or twice since he died, and it was always, like, in a flashback, and you go, "Oh, Tommy." And then we move on, and we don't see him again. But it just seems like now, like, if they kill somebody, they just bring them over to Legends of Tomorrow and have them running around in time.
Yeah.
I just don't want that. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm not whining about it. It's just stupid and sucks from a storytelling standpoint. Just takes away, you know, oh, death, where art thou, Sting?
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you mean that we've repeated it a few times and stop repeating it, I that makes more sense to me. And I see how it could come across as whining. It's just that they keep doing it, so we keep repeating that it's a bad idea.
Yeah, and I think the only times we've actually whined about it recently are in response to Andrew Getze, who keeps whining that there needs to be more John Barrowman. Anyway, Andrew goes on to say, or Drew goes on to say, too bad about the recaps. So you're just going to skip episodes but the mid-season and finale. Gee, I couldn't do that, but I have mild OCD. Me too. That's part of the reason it was so hard to decide that.
Yeah. Yeah, but, we're not actually just going to watch... To be clear, we're not just going to watch mid-season... We're going to keep up with these shows, but...
Yeah.
The we'll timing talk- within a week meant we can't talk about them every week.
Yeah.
And I do mean literally. Like the timing coming up as the shows have been slotted now, and with the additions... Dave and I will not physically be able to get on a phone and talk about the shows every week, much less record.
Yeah, much less do all of the back end of creating even one more episode.
Yeah, just the timing and the scheduling is impossible. Just not we are going to actually watch everything before we deign to do a mid-season recap of a show after watching the mid-season finale.
Yeah, and that's how we started out. That's how we started out doing it, so... Actually, I think we just did a couple of seasons at a time. And to be fair and clear, again, you know, if we get to a point in this show where we're doing this, where we can sustain ourselves full time while doing this, if this becomes our full time gig, we'll absolutely do every episode. I would love to do that. That'd be fun. But, no, not right now. So, he says, thanks for the plug. Anyone interested but don't want to pay can contact me. I'm willing to email my best work if they'll read it. I'd happily be a third and do recaps with one or the other of you because I follow everything obsessively, but no one wants to hear that. I don't know. I don't think either one of us have that kind of time.
No.
Anyway. I'm sorry. Now, as I have said... Because of struggles in ancient Thanagar, you should go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star written review. we do have that average of 4.5 stars out of 5 with 56 ratings, and we really want to get that to 100 by the end of the year. So there's that reminder. We are over on Twitter at DC On Screen. You can hit us up at Facebook, DCOnScreen@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail, 205-259-6331. Do you have anything else for us, Jason?
No, I think you got it.
Yeah.
Happy
All right,
New Year's.
Well, we are DC On Screen, proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network. We love you guys. Leave us feedback, and we'll see you in a little bit over a week. Is that right? Did I say that right? Over a week?
Yeah, it's going to be a little over a week.
Well, yeah, I was just wondering if I said that right. The words felt weird. They felt foreign coming out of my mouth.
I'm going to use a phrase that still feels foreign to me, but I learned it recently. Monday next.
Oh. Monday next.
Which is apparently different from next Monday.
Yeah. So, sorry, Dr. Steve. It's going to be a little bit of a wait for your fix. But,
Yeah. And Gotham premieres in, like, 12 or 11 days or something from where we're at right now. I don't know. Let me see. But was it the 18th?
I have no idea.
Let's find out.
I might actually re-download TV time and try to figure out how I screwed it up last time, so where it was like giving me notifications for like Duck Dynasty.
No, you can't have that happening. No. Yeah, 12 days. And I had I really have a feeling that something physically impossible will happen very early on in Gotham. So it may be no more than 13 days before we're calling into Dr. Steve's show with questions. That could be a thing. I mean, especially like, I mean, Scarecrow is going to be a villain, and Fear Toxin.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I mean, from what I know, I guess it's maybe possible, but wow, that's rough. That's a hard
thing. Yeah. All right. until next time, guys, keep some DC on your screen.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.